That's why this garbage is perpetuated. Well, we're comfortable. I don't want to rock the boat. Well, I don't want to sit still in a pond that hasn't got any waves. Rock the boat. Change things up. None of us like change, do we? No, not really. But it changes. Everything has changed. We're reminded of that daily. Look in the mirror, it's like, wow. Or, wow. I look back at some of my pictures, I'm like, yeah, that's quite a bit. I know, I got no room to talk. But everything changes. Doesn't matter who we are. Jobs change. Cars change. Some of my favorite cars are actually from the 30s and the 40s. Well, it ain't the cars of the 50s and the 60s. No, we actually survive. I always wondered why when we would go on 96s, the base would, they would do these drinking and driving things for us before we got to go on our 96, which was 4-day pass. And if you guys remember Blood Red Runs Red on the Highway and Driver's Ed, these were those on steroids. They weren't censored at all to get the point through to us. But all the cars were from the 50s and the 60s. I'm like, I know we've had bad accidents. We've had them on the base. But anyhow, we're not supposed to be standing here just trying to plow and keep looking back. You know, the other day I brought my tractor into town. I got a little stiffness in the shoulder and neck region and kind of makes turning around a little bit hard. So I have to really crank around to see who's going to try to run over me. A couple people tried. But when I do that, you turn around, you have a tendency to pull the steering wheel. And so my little tractor responded quite quickly to that one. Whoo! So there I am going down the road trying to get it straightened back up. So I just learned, quit looking behind you. If they run into you, you don't want to know it. Just hit me and knock me off of the tractor. I'll probably survive that. But Jesus didn't want us to keep looking back and, oh, but I had it so good there. What did I leave behind? Yeah, you can't look back. But there's another aspect to this. You can look back and see where God has brought you through. David is a great example of this. In 1 Samuel 17, David goes before Saul, you know, and they're all telling him, man, you're just a boy. Any of you men heard that before? I heard it for a long time. You're just a boy. Listen, I'm 25 years old. My brain has finally matured, okay? You're 30. You're just a boy. We can go out back and we'll find out who's the boy. I mean, I may not win, but you're going to limp to the hospital too. Yes, that's my version. So, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. Well, I got to start somewhere. Why do we do that? Why do we tear down somebody who's got the stones to get up and do something we're too chicken to do? That's the problem. There wasn't one man in the entire army of Israel. They're hiding behind the rocks. They were even bribed with a princess. Maybe that was the problem. We don't know what she really looked like. They might have known, oh, no, you ain't pulling that. But tax exemption and riches, that's a pretty good deal. We won't go into the rest of the what happened with the bride and all that stuff. But so Saul is letting him know, you can't do this job. You're too young. He was young when he started. Now he's older. I'll be honest with you. There does come a point You find a man in his 30s, he's probably in his prime. Well, it's the 20s. Oh, heavens no. I was stronger in my 30s than I was in my 20s. I was too skinny in my 20s. I could run forever, but I only had X amount of strength because I didn't have enough muscles. I was bone and sinew. David was built the same way. He was just a teenager. They estimate he was about 17 at this point. Any of you 17, when you were 17, were you really ready to go to war? I mean, there have been some, and they've been far and few between. We read about them in World War II stories, World War I, even Vietnam. But by the time we got to Vietnam, they were, no, we need a birth certificate. But even then, most of you know this. What was the average age of the soldier in Vietnam? 19. 19. They don't get the option. I had the option. They didn't get the option. You're going. Your number's up. And they got thrust into it. So here's David trying to do something good. And the one person who can help him or not, you can't do this. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Ladies and gentlemen, if he's 17 here, how old was he when this took place? His father had enough confidence in him that he could take care of the sheep. What's it going to hurt? Well, except for the wager, if you understood what the wager was. You send your best to fight ours. If he wins, you're our slaves. That's why nobody was, it ain't going to happen on my watch. But David heard him. He heard the blasphemy coming out of his mouth. And it arose against him. David was willing to lay his life down for a lamb. I know some of you usually got sheep and goats. And you know, you're like, oh no, but they're so precious. Okay, my life or the lamb's? It's a lion. It ain't a tiger-striped cat. It is a lion. And even though this would have been a Middle Eastern lion, which would have been about the size of our cougars. Cougars have been known to chew people up pretty good. It's still a lion. I've heard people talk about wildcats, bobcats. Hearing them in the mountains, I'm like, we got one running around our house out there somewhere. I've only seen him once. But honestly, I've never heard him. I'm not for certain where he hides out at, but I've heard that cry. I'm like, if I'm in a tree stand and I hear that, because they can climb, just like bears. Yeah, I ain't going to lie. I thought about that quite a few times when I was sitting in there and it got dark. And I'm like, yeah, that woods over there is about almost 100 acres of no hunting. Everybody knows where the coyotes are at. They all over there. 75 yards away from me. So I'd get down and I'd leave my crossbow cocked and everything. And sometimes even carried my concealed carry. I ain't getting caught. David said, I went after it and I took it because it belonged to my father. Do you think the other brothers would have done that? Or would they have said, it's an acceptable loss? You do know the military has that term, acceptable loss. There's another little term, we call them cannon fodder. They know you're going to die. And David went out anyhow. He started reminding. He said, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to him, go, and the Lord be with you. He knew he wasn't going to change David's mind, and David was probably going to sneak out and do it on his own. So why not let me send him out? But right after this, he says, but before you go, here's my armor. Mind you, they estimate that Saul was over 6 foot tall. David was probably 5'6" to 5'8". Nothing Justin has fits me. His arms are longer. His legs are obviously longer. His feet are bigger, so I can't wear his shoes unless I want to clop around. So armor back then was built for the person who was wearing it. And heavy. I love how we watch these movies with knights and stuff, and they jump out and ching, they pull their sword, a sword that probably weighs about 15 pounds, in a suit of armor that could weigh 75 minimum. There's a reason they were on the horses. Because that's all they could do. And even their body armor. See, I remember in boot camp when the first time we had to put those flak jackets on. Like, whoo, wow. Helmet, flak jacket, then they get you the pack, your weapon. You got another 75 pounds plus on you. And I remember the first time we put that on to go on a march. The glorious nature hike of the military. Okay, I'm okay. I can do this. Oh, man. Thighs are burning. And you go from taking walks to this. Because you got shin splints. You can't control your feet anymore. You're like, somebody just shoot me now. But we trained with it, and we got used to it. The shin splints never got used to them. But the first one we ever did was a 5 mile, which meant it was closer to 10. They lie. Last one I did, they said, was a 10-miler. I'm like, nah. I did it. Feet were bleeding. I had 40 days left in the Marine Corps. I thought, what am I doing to myself? I'm not even supposed to be here. Threw it in the truck, crawled in the truck. I said, I'm not reenlisting. I don't care. I'm not hurting myself. But anyhow, we had to train with it. We had to learn to carry it. David had never trained with it. He didn't know how to move. He didn't know how to carry it. You go down there with a helmet that's too big for you. It keeps falling over. And there's no such thing as John Wayne-ing anymore. Everybody runs around with their helmets with us. That's how you wear a helmet. No, they did that one for a reason. Today, keep it strapped. It's there to protect your noggin. And so David reminded him. He looked back. But he wasn't looking back to say, oh, I had it so much better. He was looking back to say, God was with me. And he was speaking to his first problem. The first obstacle in his destiny, Saul. Goliath wasn't his first problem. Saul was. Saul was trying to stop him from his destiny. Who's trying to stop you? Fear? Anxiety? Depression? Low self-esteem? Too cocky? That's such a thing. What's trying to stop you? And what are you telling it? Oh, you're right. I am short. I heard that so stinking much, I got sick of it. Then I joined the Marines. You know, because again, you've seen the Beetle Bailey poster or cartoon that Beetle Bailey's the one out there doing all the gung-ho stuff, and the big guy for the poster is actually a type secretary. He's a pogue. Well, see, I'd heard that so much because I was little. 10 years old, I was 50 pounds. And 4'8". And even in the eighth grade, I was only 95 pounds. So I didn't have any weight. I had no strength per se. So my vision of myself got beat down until I got in there and I wore the most common uniform, the most common size of boot, and most everybody in there was right around my height, except for those freaks they'd put at the front that could take 4-foot steps and make the little guys at the back run. So David reminded Saul, and he was reminding himself, the Lord will do this. That's right. So the Philistine, now he gets his, goes through. We know he's already picked up stones. He's going down there. He's facing his giant. What's your giant saying to you? Philistine said to David, am I a dog? How low do you think of me? Here I am a man. This is but a boy. I will crush him, and you know it. And he came to him. Obviously, he had a shepherd's staff with him too still. So you come to me with sticks. And the Philistine cursed David by his God. Any of you ever feel cursed some days? You get up. Man, you just get slapped around. You're slapped around getting out of bed. Because the devil's just been running around inside your head. Don't go turn on the news. Don't go turn on anything. Get the word of God in you. Sit down, open your Bible. Read it. And you know what I do most times? I ask the Lord, what do you want me to read? I don't just throw it up and say, oh, that's what God wants. I said, Lord, lead me. And I'll open it. I'll read something. Nope, that's not it. Because that means absolutely nothing. But then I'll go through and, oh, there we are. Yes, that's what I needed to hear. David didn't have that opportunity. The Torah was unavailable to him. And FYI, this was still not written yet. We have the benefit of being able to go into the books of Samuel and Kings and see what happened. David didn't. He had to rely on what God had done. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. That's what Mondays feel like for you, don't they? He's up. Get him. Listen, you need to start thinking more like David. Monday, here I come. People at work, here I come. Then David said to him, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Defied, sorry. Whom you have defied. He got up there and he spoke to his problem. Now I've heard people say, you don't talk to your problem, you talk to God. No, the problem's right here. I got to talk to the problem about my God. Hey, you defy God. Here's what I'm going to do to you. We like to, you know, we've been taught, oh, we'll go over here and cower a little bit. And, you know, you're going to wait till God comes. You can pray. Why do we think prayer is the last thing we should do? You wake up in a bad mood, pray. Go in there. If your habit is to jump in the shower, first thing, you jump in the shower and you pray. You pray in the spirit and you keep moving. I got attacked one time a few years back. Really attacked. And I mean, my flesh and spirit had a race, and as Carmen said, the devil went full throttle. I had to go shower, and I spent the whole time praying in the spirit. because I wanted to do physical harm to the people who just attacked. And I came to that peace praying in the shower. Do you know you can pray in the shower? You can pray doing your chores. You can pray while you're shopping. You don't have to have a prayer revival in there. Your very presence sometimes is enough. But you need to go to God with your problems. But you can't sit there and say, well, you know, I'm not going to address you. You're my problem, but I'm not going to talk to you. When are you going to address the problem? You know, we finally addressed some terrorists a couple weeks ago, or a week or so ago now, right? Remember the F-16s we sent in, or whatever, the 22s, 35s, and we rocked with the Iranians in Pakistan, I think it was. We finally addressed, but they had been harassing us for a while. Why we waited till Israel and Hamas were going at it to deal with it is beyond me. Why we tolerated for, 2 years terrorist activity before we finally started dealing with it? That's what I liked about Reagan. I don't care what your politics are. Marine barracks were bombed. 235 people, Americans, were killed. Some of them in their sleep. Reagan waited 5 years to deal with it, didn't he? We bombed the snot out of them. The first person that stuck his head out of the hole, I did that. How many years was it before he ever stuck his head out of that hole again? I think Reagan was dead. He left an impression on him. So what's the deal you're dealing with? I just can't. You are more than an overcomer now. You are more powerful now in your weakest state than that thing is. Because you have Jesus. You have the blood of Christ. You have God on your side. David said, the Lord of the army of hosts, the host of the armies of Israel. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Tell your problems, I own you. You don't own me. And I will strike you, and I will take your head. He threw it right back at him. I'm not much of a trash talker. I just as soon prove it. I want you to get overconfident. Overconfidence is one of the greatest weapons you can have. They ain't going to do nothing. Listen, if you're the underdog going into something, you have nothing to lose. Why are you playing conservatively? Play hard. Give it all. I always told my boys, whatever you do, leave it there. Leave it on the course or the track or the field or the court. Leave it all there. If you come back and you say, oh, I could have done more. That's why you lost. You got a bigger giant? You want to win. I want you to win. God wants you to win. Speak to your problem. Tell it about your God. But remember the times back here when God saw you through. Remember when you had the widow maker and God saw you through. I think I kicked your glass over. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines. He didn't just say you. We're going to kill you and them. Think about that the next time you're being attacked. Tell it to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Yes. Is there a God in Mount Gilead?
Yes.
Amen. Is there a God in your home?
Yes.
Start telling it. Whatever that problem, I don't care what the problem is. Speak to the problem about your God. Oh, but you got this, you got that. We all got problems. Anybody that teaches you don't ever have to go through anything is a liar, and I suggest you run. Because in this life, Jesus promised us you will have trials. You will have problems. But rejoice, for I have overcome this world. But you've got to be in the fight. You've got to be an active part in the fight. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Hallelujah. God. Yeah, that's a mic drop. Can you imagine David standing down here, and he's picked up his little river rock, and he goes running. I need you to understand something, the complexities of what just took place. And he ran at Goliath. He was running and hit a target right here. The only place on that man's body that wasn't armor plated. Right there. And as he launched. Anybody that's ever tried to shoot a running deer knows what I'm talking about. You're standing still and the deer's running. Try the other way around. Try hitting the target while you're running at it. It's a little different deal. Yeah, or horseback. I mean, there's a lot of lead just slung in the West. Oh, yeah, he shot him for 500 yards away. No, he didn't. Somebody in the next county may have got hit. But God wants us to look back at what he's done. That's why we have the Bible. That's why we overcome with the word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our testimony is God is great in me. I'm not perfect. I know it. There's still days I just want to kick somebody right in the seat of the pants. God says, time out, boy. Go. You and me to the woodshed. Go get my attitude straightened up. But then I have to speak to the problems. My God is greater than all of this. He said, do not fear. Many times he had to remind Joshua. I consider Joshua to be one of the greatest warriors in the Bible. David was pretty doggone good too. But Joshua was leading 2 million people. And he was in the battle. See, David would send his out. If you don't think I'm telling the truth, go back and remember Uriah and Bathsheba and that whole mess. David was back home while everybody else was fighting. But Joshua had to be reminded, be strong and courageous. Not, listen, and confidence in ourselves is real. And God wants you to have confidence in your abilities. But it's not the sword that delivers. It may be the instrument used. But it's God who brings the deliverance. You may think that you're all this and all that in any field. And the reality is, it's not. You have abilities. God gave us all different abilities, gifts. Some of you are excellent painters, poets, songwriters, singers. There's even a lot better carpenters than me. That's not hard. But the reality is, God will use your abilities, and he wants you to have confidence in them. I don't want our troops going out and not being confident in their abilities. I don't want a pilot flying my plane through a storm to not know how to use his gauges. We're going to land at night. Some of you are old enough to remember Richie Valens, Buddy Holly, the big bopper. Do you know why that plane crashed? Pretty much the guy had zero time in the dark. Did not have the ability to trust his gauges. That's why that plane crashed. They placed their confidence in somebody who did not have an ability yet. I'm sorry, but I want the guy that's flying that F-16 at Mach 2 to know what to do. I mean, stop and think about how fast that is. I told you last week about him. Flying from Toledo to Washington, D.C. in 15 minutes. Mind-blowing. And that's not our fastest aircraft. They've got a rocket engine now that'll do 7,000 miles an hour. They can't find anybody that can hold on. No, seriously, it's unmanned. It's just an engine. But that's the point. We don't have the ability yet. But back in 1913, we had the ability to hang on to this little go-kart-powered motor and fly about, what, 6 feet off the ground for 100 yards? And we flew! Woo! 10 years later, ladies and gentlemen, we had planes that could drop bombs. We had planes that were so timed that the gun could sit right behind the propeller and not shoot the propeller off. We had the ability. Our confidence grew. Our abilities grew. Everything. There's nothing wrong with having confidence in what you do. But the reality is, even the farmer has to rely on the Lord to give the harvest. The person building the house has to rely on the Lord to bring the weather, to bring the crew. That's why it says, he who builds a house does it in vain unless the Lord builds it. Whatever your problem is, speak to it. Jesus said, speak to the mountain to be removed. There's a time to go around it, and there's a time to take it on. And if it's holding you back, it's time to take it on, no matter what it is. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand. We serve a great and mighty God, and I know you know this. But whatever's happening in D.C., we need to pray. Our prayers bring about change in areas that we can. I believe that's the prayer of serenity. Lord, help me to change the things I can and accept the change things I cannot change. Jesus was quite happy just sleeping in the boat while the disciples were screaming their heads off. He was just as happy as could be, just walking right by them on the water while they were, again, screaming their heads off. I wonder how long it was before they finally got that. Screaming ain't a problem. Jesus got to the thing and he spoke to the storm, spoke to the wind. Shh. Be still. Told the waves, calm down. Speak to the problem about God. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise your name, Lord, that you are the King of Kings, you're the Lord of all lords, and you are the Lord of hosts. Father, no matter what our problems are, we can tell them about you because they are flat out telling us about us. We know where we're weak. We know where we're strong. But in all of this, none of it happens without you. So Lord, help us right now to start identifying the problems. Lord, right now I bind all these spirits that are trying to boggle our minds and weigh us down. Father, right now pour your confidence, pour your strength into the people that they may deal with these issues that are facing them. Father, you did not make us to be timid. There's no reason for us to be timid. You didn't make us to be always sick. But the devil is trying to attack every which way he can. Father, worry has no place here. Stress has no place here. Lord, I thank you that you're moving right now. You're rising up in your people, just as you did in David. Lord, that we will go at our giant. That when our giant says we are not big enough, that we aren't enough in that fight, Lord, that we will turn it around and say, well, it's not about me, it's about you. It's about the Lord God whom you've defied. And because you've defied him, God has given you to me. And I will take your head. And I will not only feed your body, but I will feed everybody else's that has come with you. Lord, I thank you right now for courage and strength to rise up. I speak, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might to everybody hearing today. Lord, I thank you that you're moving miraculously in their lives. Father, you're giving them the confidence to stand upon your word. Lord, and when they're shaky, Lord, as that father said to Jesus, Lord, help my unbelief. Help their unbelief, Father. Now, Lord, I bless them. I thank you, Father, that you're going before them. You're closing up traps that the devil has set before them. You're making ways where there were no ways. Father, you're giving confidence where there was no confidence. Lord, I thank you right now that you're moving in the lives of every believer here. In Jesus' name, amen.